Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Four Pillar Fitness Podcast. This is Coach Phil Houston behind the microphone again, coming to you to start your year and your decade off fresh. Happy New Year. Hey, if you're listening to me on iTunes, would you drop me a five-star rating if you like what you hear today and leave a comment? Thousands of you listen and never interact, and that interaction is really what drives those ratings and lets more people hear the show. So thank you. If you would do that for me, I'd really appreciate it. In the coming year, I promise you more content and more fun stuff. 2019 was a rough year for my wife and I will share more on that in upcoming episodes in the hope that you, my listeners, might benefit from my experience and what I learned this year. But for now, let's get going. You know how to reach me. You can leave me a voice message on Anchor at anchor.fm/4-pillar-fitness. And you can DM me on Instagram at Coach Phil Houston. Just spell the last name right, H-U-E-S-T-O-N. I'm on Twitter at Phil Houston, spelling H-U-E-S-T-O-N is the last name. And the website is coachphilhouston.com. Again, with that spelling thing. Now, on to today's topic. Make resolutions that don't suck and won't fail. And just as a disclaimer, since I got asked about this recently, yes, everything I say is backed by science or research. It's footnoted in the written version of the content I deliver here. You can find that on my website if you like reading research studies like me. Hi there, fellow bio nerd. Anyway, we've reached the end of another year. I mean, it's really the end of a decade, right? Think back over the last year, two, or even 5 years. Of all the resolutions you've made, how many have you really kept? If the answer makes you a little depressed, that's okay. Virtually every human on the planet who consistently makes New Year's resolutions fails at them to some significant degree. In fact, research has shown, and yes, it's footnoted, that 4 out of 5 resolutions will fail within the first few weeks, and only 1 in 5, about 1 in 5, a little less than that actually, make it to the end of the first year. So why bother? It's a good question. Resolutions can be helpful or they can be harmful. The key is in the nature of the resolution. Before you make a resolution, ask yourself, what is it about this resolution that really matters to me? What benefit will you derive from fulfilling that resolution? And most important, how will the fulfillment of that resolution and the results of that fulfillment make you feel? How will the fulfillment of that resolution and the results of that fulfillment make you feel? You see, in the end, if there's no deeper emotional attachment to the accomplishment of any goal, and make no mistake about it, resolution is just another manifestation of goal. You'll never achieve it. Having an emotional component to goal setting creates intrinsic motivation or a sort of internal drive to succeed, what might get you through when times get tough. Resolutions created out of some need to be like someone else or just because, or because you think it's what you should do, are highly likely to fail. The worst part of that failure is not that a goal that's unworthy of your emotional investment in the first place has failed. No, the worst part is that you are very likely to carry an emotional scar from that failure, one that will hurt you in future goal setting and achievement. It's ironic, isn't it? Something you tell yourself you want to do without really having any emotion attached to it ends up leaving you scarred and inhibited during future endeavors. Now, that doesn't seem fair, but I don't make the psychological rules. There are other reasons resolutions fail. For example, typical resolutions bring about massive changes very suddenly. Too often, folks simply make too many resolutions to try to change too many things at once. The brain struggles with this, and you don't get the kind of mental, emotional, psychological, and even spiritual backup that the supercomputer in your head is normally capable of. You unwittingly set yourself up for failure that way. Fear is another factor. Setting huge goals or piling on a large number of them makes the situation look daunting and unwinnable, and suddenly, the excitement of making resolutions is gone and you're stuck with the doing part. And fear prevents you from really digging in and figuring it out. Fear of failure or success, as well as fear of change, can stop you in your tracks and derail your resolutions. Listen, I've got an idea. How about we do this? How about we give ourselves some forgiveness for our past failures and we get busy on the creation of some resolutions you can actually keep and that will literally make you feel better, both for having fulfilled them and because of what they'll do for you. Are you in? Great, let's do this. Let's start with these resolutions we can keep. Here's the first one. Move more, sit less. This one's easy. It really is. If you think about it, you can say it's not, but it really is. If you work at a desk, get up and move around for 1 to 5 minutes each hour. Heck, you can stand up and just walk in place while working for a few minutes a day. You can keep reading your computer and doing what you gotta do, just kind of march in place. How about parking the car further from the door to the office or your workplace? The same goes to the supermarket, the mall, or anywhere else. The only caveat for the parking rule, only if it's safe. Don't park in unsafe places or dark places. Number 2, take the stairs or walk up the escalator. Anytime you can, use the stairs. I've written about studies that describe the stair walking effect on health. It really is profound. They found that even walking two flights of stairs a day can have a profound effect on your cardiovascular health. Pretty important. Try this. If you're not ready for 5, 10, or more flights, take the stairs to the second or third floor and then hop the elevator from there. Number three, find exercise or physical activity that you actually enjoy. You don't need an internet-connected bike that costs 3 mortgage payments to enjoy working out. Did you love riding your bike as a kid? I bet you love it now, too. Like to swim? Do it. Maybe you love Zumba. Maybe it's CrossFit. Try some things. But here's the thing. Be willing to be honest about how each one makes you feel, and be willing to walk away from something you don't enjoy without feeling like you failed. You tried. You didn't fail. You simply eliminated something that's not right for you right now. Walk, jog, lift, dance, swim, ride, whatever. Maybe do them all. When you find what you like, put it on the schedule and do it. Because as you know, if it's on the schedule, it'll get done. Number four, stop dieting. Dieting sucks. It just sucks. Nobody likes to diet. Nobody. And before you say it, yes, those nutritional cleanse programs are DIETS, diets. They require you to reduce your calories to levels that make the residents of Auschwitz feel like gluttons. You do need to be in a state of caloric deficit in order to lose weight if that's something you want. But restrictive dieting is problematic in a number of ways. Chronic dieting is damaging to both physical and mental health. Again, there's science to back this up. It can make future weight loss much harder as well, since it can alter hormonal responses in the body and the brain. The real insult? The majority of people who lose weight on restrictive diets, including those nutritional cleanses, regain up to 67% of the weight they lost in 1 year. If you want to read the study, it's on my website. So, what's the real resolution that you can keep around diet and weight loss? Resolve to make positive changes to activity levels and to eat healthier foods. More on that next. Number five, eat real foods, eat whole foods. Man, dump the processed foods, go more natural. You don't have to go organic unless that's something that's important to you. I love organic foods, and I eat them as much as I can, but I'm not going to lie. Sometimes they're a lot more expensive than their inorganic counterparts, or non-organic counterparts. Sorry, I was talking chemistry for a minute. However, you can certainly eat natural foods in their most natural form wherever and whenever possible. For more than 20 years, I've offered my youth athletes 2 simple rules to guide them to eating more whole and real foods. Number one, if it doesn't come in the package God put it in, try to avoid it. In other words, if it was processed, it's less likely to be natural. Number two, if there's a cartoon character on the label, put it back on the shelf. This one should be self-explanatory. Only garbage needs a leprechaun or a talking tiger to sell it. They sound silly, I know. Think about them, though. They make sense and they work. My athletes and clients can remember them and apply them, and that's what matters. That's the important part. See, whole foods are nutrient-dense, not just calorie-dense. This means you get more bang for the buck when it comes to vitamins, minerals, fibers, and micronutrients. Your body needs these to function optimally. Fresh fish, fresh meats, vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds, and whole grains are the keys to getting more whole and real foods in your diets. For this resolution, choosing eating more real and whole foods beats only eating them. With a resolution to eat only whole and real foods, the first time you're in a situation that you can't wholly control or even know the content of the food you're eating, you may worry that you failed. And this may lead to a thing called the avoidance violation effect, AVE. The avoidance violation effect, because you failed to uphold your rigid resolution regarding a standard in a setting you couldn't control, you failed overall. And this may lead to a casting aside of the resolution altogether. So you get that? If you're super rigid about your food and you're only going to eat natural and whole foods, only ever, if you're in a situation where you don't know what an ingredient is, you might feel like you failed because you didn't take control of the situation in order to control your resolution. And that kicks into the avoidance violation effect. And that can lead you to just kick it out and dump that resolution altogether when we know that it would be so much better to have a resolution that lets you make progress. And wouldn't that progress then be a continual win, reinforcing the value of the resolution and your adherence to it? Yes, yes, it would. P.S. If you need some sciencey reasons to eat more whole and real foods, research has shown that a diet based on whole foods may significantly lower heart disease risk, blood sugar levels, and body weight. And the risk of diabetes falls as well. And for those of you wondering, when I say whole foods, I don't mean the store. A diet based on that would probably leave you broke. I hope you're enjoying the show today. There's more to come right after this brief word from our sponsor. Welcome back to the Four Pillar Fitness Podcast. We've covered a lot of ground regarding resolutions, more specifically, how to make resolutions that don't suck and that you can actually keep. So let's move on. Number six, get more and better sleep. Man, I feel like I've talked about this ad nauseum, and I'm going to continue to, I guess. Sleep deprivation and poor sleep quality may well be the single biggest health issue we have as Americans. I mean, think about it. It's almost like we pride ourselves in the way our lives intrude on our sleep. Yet every night of poor or inadequate sleep may be shortening your life. And while that might sound like an exaggeration, it really isn't. Research has clearly shown the link between loss or lack of sleep and insulin resistance, cognitive impairment, depression and anxiety, weight gain, and heart disease. Tell me again how sleep loss is not shortening your life. For overall health, improvements in performance, and in how you look, i.e. weight loss and physique improvements, getting 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep each night is key. Now, here's something you may not hear from everybody, but I've been focusing on this in my own life recently. Try to get to bed and arise at consistent times each day. Now, I don't care if that's 10 and 6, 9 and 5, 11 and 8, whatever. Okay, you pick your times and stick with them. There's a lot of research that says this gets you into a specific sort of hormonal and diurnal clock that lets you sleep better and get better quality sleep. And it's going to help with all those hormonal cycles, right? Cut back on your screen time right before bed. That's something else that I've been trying to do, and it really does work. And then try to sleep in a cool, dark room. You may think you want to be warm, but you probably don't when you're sleeping. I can guarantee you'll feel better and younger, you'll be healthier, and you'll find it easier to keep those other resolutions. Number 7. Build better food life habits. Now, what does this mean? 3 key things, really. First, make more meals at home or eat out less often. Second, reduce your dependence on convenience foods. Become food independent. Third, do your own grocery shopping. Learn about the food you eat. Doing these things will let you get number 5 done more effectively as well, by the way. Believe it or not, science has shown that people who cook more of their meals at home eat better and have lower body fat than those who rely on meals cooked outside the home. So it's not just an old wives' tale or generally good advice, it's science. One study of over 11,000 people showed that those who ate 5 or more meals cooked at home each week were a full 28% less likely to be overweight when compared to those who ate less than 3 home-cooked meals a week. This, of course, ties into reducing reliance on inconvenience foods. That includes fast foods and processed foods bought in grocery stores and other places. It also includes, for you busy people, the morning bagel or breakfast sandwich from the corner bagel store or deli that you grab on the way to work. Fast foods have been linked to diabetes and heart disease, among other negative health conditions. When you cook more meals, you'll have to make grocery lists and then go to the grocery store. Make it a point as part of this resolution to do your own grocery shopping. I have an idea for you. When you go to the store, plan to spend some time there and learn about the food you buy. Read labels. Try some new fruits, vegetables, and other foods. I mean, talk to the meat guy. Talk to the fish guy. Talk to the produce guys. Ask them some stuff. They actually know some things. Some of these people are pretty smart. Maybe go to the fish department and try a weird fish. You'll probably be surprised at how tasty and interesting some of those foods really are. Number 8, take care of me. What I mean by this is take some time for self-care. For you, that is, not me. You get that, right? Like, you understand that? Okay, good. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate or expensive. A simple walk in nature, even for 10 minutes, can reset your mind and restore a sense of peace. And take a yoga class or try meditating. Try taking 30 minutes a week. Now, just listen to this one, guys. This one might change everything for you. Try taking 30 minutes a week, one time, where you are completely disconnected, unplugged, and removed from civilization. No one can reach you. No one can bother you. You might only be able to shut off the phones, the tablets, and other devices and sit in your backyard or on your patio or on your balcony, but do it. Live in a city? Hey, maybe you can get on the roof of your building. Go to a museum. Go to the park. Go somewhere where you can disconnect for a while and let your mind rest completely. No music, no nothing, just be. Just chill. If you can do it, a massage is fantastic self-care, and I love it. But if it's your thing, some people aren't. I'm a fan of massage, as well as a good pedicure. Listen, I'm revealing something about myself here. I love a good pedicure, boys and girls. I'm on my feet a lot during the day, so a good spa pedicure really is self-care. And it makes me more effective at my job. While you're improving self-care, take a look at your hygiene regimen. Are you taking good care of your teeth and gums? If you do, your heart will thank you. So will people around you, by the way. Look after your skin. It's the largest organ you have and a huge line of defense against disease and other nasty stuff. Self-care has many facets. It would pay to consider improvement resolutions in this area as well. Number 9, man, this is a big one. I'm going to be spending a lot of time in 2020 talking about this, and I hope you all listen. Stop trashing yourself. Yeah. Make a resolution to stop talking negatively about your body. Speaking negatively about your body, even to yourself or in your mind, can increase the feelings of body shame. Here too, science has weighed in. Research shows that hearing and/or engaging in negative body talk is linked to decreased self-esteem and higher levels of body dissatisfaction in both women and men. Men, you got it going on too, okay? Why not include a resolution to speak well of yourself this year? Give yourself some positive self-talk and cut back on the negative body talk. Remember, your body may not be as awesome as you'd like it to be right now, but it has gotten you this far in life. It's been through every struggle and every battle you've been in, and it hasn't quit on you yet. Give it a chance to come through. Show some encouragement. Positive self-talk and a reduction in negative body talk will help improve your relationship with your body. It will also encourage others to do the same. Hey, that's the list today for now, okay, just for now. Now, you may have noticed something. None of these resolutions is about absolutes. There's no lose X number of pounds by X date or fit in X size jeans by X date. Those kinds of resolutions may be okay for a small percentage of the population, but most of them end up unfulfilled. My goal here was to show you a way to make resolutions that might actually help change your life for the better without adding stress, anxiety, pain, and self-loathing to the list of things ailing you or afflicting your life. Every one of these resolutions will remain intact as long as you're conscious of them and present to how they're working in your life and you allow them to be a work in progress. Making a mistake relative to one of these doesn't disqualify you from fulfilling it. How's that for a great way to become a resolutionary? I know. All right. Listen, thanks for being a part of the show today. Remember, you can reach me on Anchor, anchor.fm/4-pillar-fitness. I'm on Instagram at Coach Phil Houston. Just spell the last name right, H-U-E-S-T-O-N. I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/Coach Phil Houston, all one word. And on Twitter at Phil Houston, again, just spell the name right. As always, the website is coachphilhouston.com, where you'll find tons of free content and cool stuff. And while you're there, hey, get on my email list. This is going to be a great year for that. You're going to have a lot of fun. And as always, boys and girls, keep the faith and keep after. How do you know, man?